And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
Claire, you're independent. I'm here in Stancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. All right, we got Tim Pachote on. He has a guest that he wanted to, you know, share the microphone with. Tell us every little thing that's going on this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Hello, everyone. Actually, I'm trying to. I just realized that my audio is coming through my TV and not through my headphones, so I've got to correct that real quick. But do you want me to give a quick little intro to Matt while I try to get this corrected?
Yeah. Well, I. You know what? Let me do my side here, and then you can fill in blanks. You know, Matthew McKean, CEO of Frontier Applied Science. He's a businessman. You know, who currently CEO of a company in the energy sector with patents in 9 countries across 5 continents. His background includes finance, energy, entrepreneurship, market dynamics. He's a member of an Arizona-based think tank here that reviews global trends for business forecasting. Okay. His family roots are blue blood. His ancestry dates to the signing of the Declaration of Independence, the president of the Continental Congress and Revolutionary War. He resides in Scottsdale, Arizona, where he enjoys time with family, friends, church, and he's Trump! Trump, go get us a wall, emergency legislation, and freaking let's do it. And I remember talking to him, it's like Elon Musk, that huckster. So we're going to have plenty to talk about how far off am I, Matt.
Good morning. It's great to be on here.
You know, so I remember our conversation at lunch, and so it's like, I get it. You're going to have plenty to say about something. All right, fill in the gaps for us, Tim.
Yeah, well, he's also the, I'm not sure if you mentioned this, the CEO of Frontier Applied Sciences, where he's got patents on just about most of the continents. I'm sure he can fill us in on the gaps over here, where the patent is on taking, essentially making clean coal, I guess is like the quick boil down, where they take, not making clean coal, but taking coal and then in a clean way, basically being able to produce oil from it. And Obama administration and regime stymied him and wouldn't allow him to get the patents on it because anything with coal, which is an automatic no. Well, because of Trump is in there, he ended up getting those patents. He's had billions of dollars of real estate transactions underneath him, student of Armstrong Economics, you know, zero hedge type guy. We agree on probably 90% of stuff, 85% of stuff. I really like him, which so I don't usually like doing this sort of stuff with people I like because right now he is, and sort of where the little riff's gone back and forth is, you know, he's under the impression that this is sort of like the best economy ever and I should just be happy. And I
so you're taking your Facebook feud to declare your independence? Is that what you're telling me?
It wasn't really too much of a feud. It's just a little mild going back and forth because I've got plenty of people, you know, there's no shortage. If anyone goes to the Liberty Advisor page and sees any of the recent posts, there's like hundreds of comments are all like, I'm a traitor and I'm a POS.
Oh, you're getting trolled? Oh!
I mean, hundreds. It's like I'm outnumbered like 100 to 1 in all of those. So if anyone wants to go to.
All right, Matt, I got to ask you, man. Can you feel the targeting? Can you see that, you know, me and all my buddies, they're going to dump on Tim. It's like a campaign. Or some of them might even be AI. Are they Russians? Are they trolls from? I mean, do they really care about what little old Tim has to say that much? Or is he just one of the targets of the machine?
I think Tim, you know, Tim's got, he's got his perspective. And I'd say we agree on probably 9 out of 10 things. I think, you know, one of my favorite sayings, and I talk to people, is let's take a step back. And so whenever we get myopic on a topic, we sometimes have to step back and say, you know, what is behind this? Where is this coming from? You know, so one of the things that, you know, when Tim gets into stuff on the economy, et cetera, et cetera, I'm like, well, we just came out of 10 years of artificially low interest rates, where it artificially inflated the housing market. You know, cost of a Ford F-150 went from $35,000 to $65,000. Now you've got higher insurance premiums and all these inflated prices, all these inflated goods. And so we got an economy in many ways. It optically looks like it's doing well. And so I'm giving Trump credit for staving off what I think is ahead, which is not good. But he's kind of like a guy running around putting his fingers in the dike. You know what I mean? So unfortunately, it doesn't matter.
I don't know what Tim says, but it doesn't matter who was there. They're going to be finger diking. I don't give a crap who was there, you know, and whether Trump has got bigger fingers or whatever, I don't know, but the dike is coming down. I mean, are you making the argument that it's not coming down?
Oh, I would make bolder statements than that. I think we're looking at the fall of the West over the next decade. I don't think you can hold it off.
Do you think it's going to be a whole decade we got to wait?
you can't. I think it's going to get really bad. Armstrong Economics, that guy's maybe he's called the forecaster. He's got some of the best AI data that really points to specific dates based upon AI that he's created that's been very, very accurate over the last 30 years. And, you know, his data essentially shows we have extreme social unrest starting between 2020 to 2021, and that Trump can hold it off, but you can't governments. And where I think all this goes even to the wall is you can't have governments allowed to borrow with no intention of ever paying it back. And you can't, like, so Trump steps into office with $20 trillion in debt. The damn interest expenditures are $6.7 billion a week. The interest is part of the budget that is only dedicated to paying the interest on the national debt, you know, is about $400 billion a year now. It just doesn't work. The math finally fails.
You know, I remember years ago when the news was that all income tax that individuals pay in the voluntary income tax, they all of that goes just paying the interest on the debt. I mean, you think it'd get you some service. You get something for all the money you're giving. No, you're just paying interest. You're just the interest guy, you know? And it's like having a wife, you know, works just to pay the interest on your credit cards. So I'm going, hell, this is unsustainable. But, you know, so what's the argument between you and Tim? I mean, you know, if you were to distill it down, where's he getting most of his arrows flung at him on the comment sections on his pages? I mean, you know, where does that come from?
I think you had calm, constructive conversations, but I think Tim tends to take a shot at all Republicans and to swipe and lump Trump in with Republicans and to say he's the same as all of them. And I'd say, you know, my angle tends to be that Trump was an outsider. Clearly was not a Republican. That's why the Republican neocons and the rhinos all hate him. And that's why you see him opposed. And he's not a Democrat. The Democrats all hate him. And so I tend to look at Trump. He was an outsider. There's a few different storylines on how he ended up running for president that are very interesting that I tend to think there's.
All right. So let's just skip to the end, man. You're all queued up, aren't you?
I'm just talking off the top of my head. You know, I'm ready to go. So.
No. I mean QAnon. Are you queued? You pay attention to that?
I do.
Son is, man, he will not talk. I went over to visit with him, you know, the family and everything Saturday. And I go, all right. Give me the latest Q, man. Come on. Do me. Get me caught up. Nope. Just you got to read it yourself. It's something that you can't articulate to someone else. It's like you have to be immersed in it to be in this fog of direction of it's all a conspiracy and there's, you know, trust in Trump and in the end, and it's all, no matter what happens, it doesn't matter if you get freezing temperatures across the United States, that's just a side effect of global warming. You know, it's that kind of argument.
That's not true, but we can talk about it on another subject.
I'm telling you, you know, I scratch the surface on this QAnon thing, and I'm going, I recognize a psyop when I see one. Now, which way does it go? Is it a psyop to free me? Is it a psyop to get me ready and prepared? Is it a psyop? It's a freaking psyop, I guarantee that. But to what purpose? I have no freaking idea, but Matthew McKean's going to help us. He's going to explain it to us when we come back. From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at PiratesWithoutBorders.com. When we come back, Tim gets a turn, you know, and what the controversy is. But it gets whenever you look at this kind of stuff, it's not so much an argument over the details as much as it's an argument over your allegiances. What team are you on? You're not allowed to wear the hat or the jersey because you're not saying the right things in the right way and that's approved. You know, how far off am I, Matt?
Yeah, I think what's great about your show is ultimately what it comes down to is I try to distill everything to down to which policies, people, individuals, and ideas give us more freedom and which give us less freedom. And so if we really take a step back and go, is this group, person, party, or ideology taking freedoms away from us versus, you know, excessive, you know, legislation by regulation, taxes, et cetera, that's where it all starts. And so if you look at who's giving you more freedom, who's taking freedom away.
You know, I can't give them a pass when, you know, we're still in wars in these places. Oh, we're gonna get out, pinky swear. I'm like, yeah, bullshit, okay?
Right after we attack Venezuela.
Right, you know, it always comes down to war and mushroom clouds and where are the aircraft carriers. And I'm happy to see that they're, oh, he didn't get away, he didn't walk away with a deal with Kim Jong grandson. And I'm going, so? I don't give a crap, at least he wasn't shooting each other. I mean, they're talking, yeah. I don't care. So I give, you know, Trump credit on a lot of things just to, you know, keep the ball rolling. You know, we're negotiation. We're not, you know, having to shoot everybody. But he keeps using that. Oh, it's on the table. Oh, we got, it's the same old and then John Bolton. When we come back, that's what I want to do. Tell me, who the John Bolton, and why is he even there? What is the role that he plays in this thing? So you can get all Q on me and explain this Bolton thing, man. You do me a solid, and then we'll get to Tim, all right? Because I need to know, John, what the hell is that about? Here we go.
Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
American woman, stay away from me. American woman, mama, let me be. Don't come a hanging around my door. I don't want to see your face no more. I got more important things to do than spend my time growing old with you. Now, woman.
Yeah, American woman, stay away from me. Well, who's that to?
Especially if it's a man. Especially if it's a man these days, you never know.
You know, American person, right? It'd be recalled, well, American person.
Well,
today,
this
right?
Whole thing was about Vietnam, I think. I mean, it was all, you know, the American empire, America and her interest, America. Hey, man, just stay away from me. You know, just let me be. I'm good. Well, here we got, you know, the Middle East and Venezuela, blah blah blah. And we're gonna give props to Trump, and I gotta ask. John Bolton, what the hell is with that guy? Why is he even there? What is the role? What is? Give me trust in Trump reasoning for John Bolton and what he's doing. Go, Matt. Tell me. Give me John. You get your turn, Tim, in a second. But Matt, tell me this John Bolton thing. Pimp him. Go.
You mean why was he selected as national
security?
Yeah,
what the hell is he doing there? What? Explain that to me. What's the benefit here?
So why is he national security advisor?
Yep.
That's your question.
Why does he have a say in anything? Why is he? Why?
I can only speculate. I mean, you had some points. You know, why are we in certain wars? no doubt about it, you know, the old adage, you know, follow the money. And the military industrial complex is a huge, big business. And so you've got, you're Trump, you come from outside Washington, you don't know who your cabinet members would be, you find yourself president of the United States, and the swamp runs so deep and so thick, it's hard to find. If you've been to Washington, I'm assuming, I mean, you go to Washington, you want justification for not paying your taxes, just walk through the DOI or the Department of Labor. I mean, it is the biggest mess of bureaucracy. So I can't tell you why John Bolton's there. I mean, obviously my agreement would be with you on, we don't need to be in foreign wars. I mean,
so yeah, blah, blah, blah. Give me the trust in Trump, you know, freaking reasoning of why would Trump have as national security advisor, super duper neocon, John Bolton and all the crap that he says in contradiction to Trump. So I'm wondering, and the Secretary of State was doing the same thing, you get rid of him. So I'm just going, there's something else going on. Either Trump is in control, he's not, he's playing a game. What's the game? I'm tired of games. Give me the game. I mean, what is it? I mean, you can't say I don't know and still support this kind of stuff. You got to either trust in something. There's some, what is it you're supporting? It can't be John Bolton, or it is John Bolton. What?
Are you saying what am I supporting?
Yes.
Who is Trump supporting?
Well, I know he's supporting. He's got his national security vice, John Bolton.
Yeah. First of all, you've got to have someone in the role. Then you've got to have someone that you can rally support behind between the people that drive your office and help you create policy. Do I think he's probably the best candidate? What we know is we haven't, you know, Obama took us from two wars to six wars. We have not entered another war. By the way, Tim, I have a lot of ties to high places in Venezuela. That's another conversation entirely, and it's not as simple as you think it is.
It's freaking really simple. What the hell do I care? Get the hell out. Peace out. Let individuals go and commerce and send and help and not and be socialist or not. Not my problem. I just like it. So freaking not my problem. Why is Venezuela my problem? What are we doing? What? Why? And sure as hell, why are we supporting this other guy to be president and take over? And we're going to have a coup and we're doing all that. Always works out great in Central South America.
Well, Venezuelan was run by the Cubans.
Don't care.
That's who Maduro came from and everywhere. So you've got to
command.
So beyond us having an interest in being a good neighbor in a humanitarian crisis where you have, you know, people starving to death, eating zoo
animals. Individuals or as a country?
Well, I would say is, do we offer foreign aid in humanitarian efforts within it, when it's within
our... Yeah, it's called freedom, and the American people do whatever the hell they want. No, you're boycotted, you're not allowed to deal with them, and you sure as hell can't buy their crypto. So I'm just going, you know, they're not hands-off, they're not freedom-oriented. Freedom's the answer, what's the question? And they're always doing something that we got to act as a collective, as a country, and our team versus their team, and who's on the team crap. And I'm going, no, why are you choose, why do I got Washington or Trump or anybody else picking teams? I don't care.
Well, that leads us right to the question of the wall. Is we can send $50 billion overseas to other countries, but we can't protect our own border. It's a really good place to have it. The John Bolton question, I can't tell you why Trump picks
it. All right, border. Give me a border thing, man.
How many things am I going to be able to respond to? We've got, you know, we've been jumping around to so many different issues.
I know. We're just trying to find out where he is. I'm trying to get a consistency here, you know?
So the presidential oath is really, really short oath, right? The president gets sworn into office. It's Article 2 of the Constitution. He basically puts his hand on the Bible and raises his right hand and swears to protect, preserve, and defend the Constitution. I may have that out of order, of the United States.
But not Venezuela.
All the other members of Congress and the vice president, everyone, their oath is not encoded. So they've created an oath that it also says against enemies, both foreign and domestic. And so I would say, take a step back, all these social programs and divvying up of our money and all these things, you know, powers not granted to the federal government will be given to the states. There is one thing that the president of the United States is supposed to do, protect the country. Defend the Constitution. So along the border, right, I cannot think of any more thing that important thing than the president should be doing as the commander in chief than protecting our country from people crossing.
He locked himself in to equate that is a wall where we got Mexican and American jackrabbits. And I'm
if the president didn't want to play ball with Congress, he could call the Department of Homeland Security, which is another question as to why that agency exists. But he could call them up and say, please designate MS-13 as a terrorist organization, because people that invade your country and murder and rape and spread drugs and steal are terrorists. And then he could line the military up on the border if that's what he wanted.
So yeah, are they going to let me leave? Are they going to let me leave if I want to leave? I just want to know if I can leave.
That's not the question we're talking about.
Oh, it will be. I guarantee it. You know, I have a good friend of mine who's a partner in my restaurant, and we've been good friends for 30-something years, and he's an attorney, was a city councilman here in Glendale and so on. And he wrote an article on Freedom's Phoenix, and he was really excited about it. I hope it would take off. And his idea was we should lease land on the Mexican side of the border, the United States, because if we build the wall on the Mexican side of the border, then we won't have all this environmental and regulation of nothing or whatever. And Mexico, we'd pay it, make a bunch of money. Say, well, we'll lease it from you for X amount of time, have the border, we'll pay for its maintenance, wherever we got a wall, and you know, have a wall. And he's all excited about that. And I'm going, well, there's one thing. I mean, you get the Mexicans will build the wall and they'll make some profit at it. They get on it. So this is, it's really just around the edges and what the real problem is. All right, Tim, go, man. You know, you got 30 seconds.
All right, well, let's just wait for this until the next break so that way I don't get cut off.
See, you had your chance. The music's, all right, when we come back, you know, Tim will get to have his say. You know, because this is, I'm sure boiling over from on his comment section. And Tim, to his credit, he's like, bring it on, man. Let's all put it on tape and get it. And my thing is, I always, I just raise my hand. I just want to know, am I allowed not to care? Am I allowed not to care? Am I allowed to not have my money taken for this kind of stuff? Am I?
The warning sign.
No, you're not. You have to participate, and you have to care, and you have to, and you have to. And I'm going, ugh. All right. So, Matt, what do you want to say when Tim comes back, man? He's going to unload on you. Go.
But can I get one quick thing before? So,
well, you don't want to lose it for the live show, do you?
Well, no. This is setting up for the live show. We're setting it up right now. So I sent you an email with a song to come into, and I think that this song is very fitting for where I'm going to go with everything. So only about 15 seconds of it you can play. It's going to start right at the spot from the link already. All right. It's David Gilmour, No Way Out of Here. So we're just trying to cue it up. No pun intended with all that.
Yeah, you know, one thing that's happened in the last week or more, whenever I go to a YouTube, it says it won't open, and then it waits, and then it opens. Does that happen to you guys?
I've been getting a weird thing where I'm trying to go into Gmail, and it's giving like these weird, like your computer's trying to go here too many times. It could be.
Yeah,
like a
Google is. There's some weird stuff going on. They're flip. I can't get off the net fast enough. I mean,
knows
we're doing.
Knows that I'm talking to you, so it's.
yeah, you know, we're up. Doing. All right, here. Let me. Is it from the beginning?
It's. I have it playing 10 seconds in, so the clip will play from like 10 seconds to the 25-second mark. It should be good enough.
Well, it's not.
There's no way out of here when you come.
I'm gonna cue this up for the debt. So there's no way out of this debt, and so why even try to bring it?
Okay, where do you want me to start at 10?
Yeah, just start at 10. It only needs to play for like 10, 15 seconds. Maybe 10 seconds.
Let me get the volume right.
There's no way out of here.
All right, so from there.
Yep, perfect. How long do we come till we come back?
About 90 seconds.
Okay. But no, Matt would be a good guest to have on sometime, just standalone, not with me, where you talk about what he's doing with the Frontier Applied Sciences. And I don't know how much of that he wants to get into or how much of it's public or what he wants to get out. But
what are you, Matt? You got some energy for me? You run my miners? You got something? Huh? Do you?
Yeah.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm an energy expert. So what I do.
Joby Weeks was over Saturday night. He came by and he's all pumped up about his thing. He's going to do a whole new energy, decentralized network using clear, you know, coin of kind of a made safe IPFS multi-level project of you get your router, your memory, your distribution, your personal power, everything all in the home. It's like Elon Musk has electric car in house, and he's got all the communication stuff that goes in it for the low, low, low price of. And it's going, and whenever he does anything, he always does multi-level, so it's going to take over the planet. I don't know if anybody make any money, but I tell you, it's definitely going to give you communication and privacy of whatever. So I'm like, yep, here we go. And he had a power component to it. Did you guys ever hook up on power stuff?
We've had communications, yeah, before. Yeah.
All right. Well, he's you know,
that guy's the busiest guy I've ever met, man. He's all over the place. So
yeah, if you ever look at his Facebook, it's oh my god. You know.
Yeah, he was like, I was asking him how long he's in town for, and he took a private plane from Scottsdale down to Tucson, and it only cost like $100 or something. And he's like, hey, all right, I got
101reasonsfilm.com.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
There's no way out of here when you come in, you're in for good. There was no promise made, the part you played, the chance you took. There are no boundaries set, the time and yet you wasted still.
Okay, Tim, what's your point, man? There's no way out of what?
There's no way out of this debt. So where we're going with all this, and I just want to back things up a little bit. As you know, Matt knows, a lot of your listeners know, in 2016, I went all out for Trump to support him, you know, reached millions of people, was, you know, arguably pointed out fake news before anybody else, picked up on the whole Russian collusion where I made one of my first videos in September 2016. Talking about how that would be the thing that they use to try to discredit him if Trump ends up winning. I mean, I guess Dr. Frank ended up, you know, he was probably even on it before me. But what really, I guess, makes me mad is when I wanted him to win so then that way he could be the one to pick up the pieces, not to be the one that puts the fingers in the dikes. And so one of the very first podcasts I ever made, I actually had that song that you had that I had sent to you, David Gilmour, No Way Out of Here. And I played that because you can... My worst fear for Trump is that he would go in there and try to...
Embrace the economy! It's the greatest thing ever!
Now, there are things... Now, it depends on what benchmark you are measuring the economic success on. So I do agree with Matt that obviously, you know, Trump... Or obviously, Obama was an absolute disaster. And I yesterday, what I did was I have got 10 podcasts that are lined up that I've already made, produced, or already in the queue. I just need to hit send and it's going to go. One of them is on refuting everything with Bill Clinton that I made 3 years ago. Probably the best podcast ever or video I ever produced in terms of information where I refute everything with Bill Clinton. I have another one where I did the same thing with Obama. So no one can, so every time I get all the people on my Facebook, go, oh, you're just a cheerleader for Obama and Clinton. Like, oh yeah, really? Like I'm the cheerleader. And it's not Matt saying this, so I don't want to, you know, put those.
Why do you even care? Of course they're going to come at you. Say this kind of stuff.
Well, no, I care because I feel like I was.
Time.
No, I care because I basically have been almost more right than just about anybody on all this stuff. And even last year when everyone said the GDP was going to be over 5% and the Atlanta Fed was saying it's going to be over 5% and all the Trump supporters are, you know, banging their fists of look at it, we've done it. You know, they said it could never be done. And I was saying at the time, well, actually, you know, Obama did have two, I believe at least one quarter above 5%, which Trump hasn't had yet. Another one that was 4.9, another one that was 4.7. So Obama's had three quarters that are actually better than Trump. So it depends so be careful what you make your measuring stick. Because if your measuring stick is who has the best single quarter GDP, Trump isn't even winning that one right now. And I also said, you know, these guys in the Atlanta Fed, they're not your friends. So don't go over here touting all these BS numbers, because I wrote a book called How It's Rigged and how they rigged the GDP numbers, how they rigged the inflation numbers, how they rigged all the unemployment numbers. And then to see Donald Trump 26 times say the unemployment number is the fakest BS, baloney, and these numbers are so fake. And I was like, yeah, right on. Like, that's absolutely the correct thing to say. And then he gets in there and he says, oh, look at me and look what I've done for African-American unemployment. Look what I've done for this unemployment. When if that's the measuring stick you're using, he's doing a good job. What he did to make the economy go up so much is that he had a massive tax cut where corporations could repatriate their money. They used the repatriated funds, which most of those were corporations that hated him and hated his guts. They used, so the people that hated him the most got to bring their money back, got to buy back their own stock, which then increased their earnings per share, because even though sometimes the revenue was down,
and he got bonuses.
So it was an artificial boost, that something that George W. Bush did, I believe it was 2005.
What you had to do.
Yeah, and I'm not, and I, you know, I'm obviously against taxation, against, but you know, but I, looking at the optics, I'm playing 5D chess down the road, and the optics right now are that, you know, we had Bill Clinton came in the office, and then, you know, he did a bunch of great things, and the economy was going up, and then we elected a, you know, and again, I know that there's all sorts of other stories, and if you guys want like the definitive breakdown when I released the Bill Clinton one, you guys will know all the information's there about how he really caused a lot of this mess. Then you get into, okay, we elected Republican George W. Bush, we let the free markets go, and then he crashed everything. Then we elected Obama, he helped, you know, fix everything. I'm saying this in air quotes right now, because obviously, you know, anyone listening to this right now knows that Obama didn't fix anything. Then we elected Trump, and then he, you know, embraced free market capitalism. And now we're going to start seeing something unfold that is not going to be Trump's fault, but because he embraced it, because he was putting fingers in the dike, he is now going to get the blame. And now the worst possible scenario is going to happen, where now, instead of having, you know, I thought the worst scenario was, you know, getting Hillary elected. The second worst scenario would be now Trump goes, takes credit for everything. A economic disaster or, you know, some sort of stock market crash happens on his watch, since he took the blame, since he took the credit for it. Now it's going to be very hard to divorce himself from getting the blame. And then now free market capitalism, now Republicans, now conservatives are going to get the blame for all this stuff. And then now we're going to have a Bernie Sanders type, or Elizabeth Warren, or Kamala Harris, or any one of these jokers are now going to get in there. And now we're going to be effed 10 times harder than if this didn't happen in the first place, because but Trump wasn't a rock in a hard place. The rock in the hard place, and this is commentary that I have going back over 2.5 years ago, so I'm not money more than quarterbacking anything. I just absolutely see this coming from a mile away. And then so I see, you know, Matt was getting upset with me and saying, you know, hey, well, you know, by all the, you know, traditional yardsticks of how you measure everything, Trump is doing a great job, and, you know, the economy. And to my, he said, you know, I got to call out my misses, is one of the things he said on Facebook recently. And the miss was, I said that Trump wasn't going to have a 3% GDP back when the Atlanta Fed said it was like a 5.2% in January of 2018. I go, you know, it's not going to be, you know, it's probably going to be under these three. It was at 2.9, which technically I was right. So he was telling me I need to call up my missus when I couldn't, the number was 70% lower than what.
Oh my God, you guys are using numbers. My head's going to explode. All right, Matt, from that, let me make this point. Being a financial advisor and taking care of clients and seeing the long term and positioning for what be a common, you would have, I can see, you know, my team and trusting Trump and this is better than, and we got, and you get all the emotional stuff in there. Is there anything that Tim is doing financially for his clients that you think he should stop doing? No. He's just saying it wrong. Is he taking the correct positions in your mind? Is he hedging the economy? Is he doing a good service to his clients? Or he's like, yeah, it's going to be guys like you that make it come down because you're not trusting in Trump enough. And the emotion in this and the optics and then just the financial look at this thing. You think Tim's doing something wrong?
I don't. I think maybe the only area we differ on a little bit is I subscribe to the valid evidence that everything's cyclical. And what the biggest fallacy is that government officials can manipulate the economy, because they cannot. Everything moves in cycles. Right now, we have a world that's very connected. So the data that I see is we have the world's crumbling right now. Europe's the euro likely won't exist in 5 to 10 years, and so the U.S. is the prettiest of the ugly sisters. So when we see capital flow, the reason the U.S. boomed in the 20th century was all the capital came here after World War II. It's really that easy. That's where the capital resides. Money will always move in the place where there's opportunity. So what we see right now is
freedom's the answer. What's the question? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, you can see, you see distrust in government, and I think Tim's really wise. He's advising against bonds, I think, right, Tim? I don't mean to quote you, but he's against government debt. Anybody that's putting their money into government debt is insane, and that's why you're seeing government debt crumble all over the world. The Europeans killed their bond market by zero interest rate negative policies. So what you're seeing is, bottom line, from the data that I see, the stock market, the U.S. stock market, the large cap stocks, they're in a consolidation phase, and they're getting ready to lift off dramatically because of capital flow. Because capital flow is coming into the United States. I had a meeting last week with a guy, and you're seeing significant money come, and they don't want government debt. The U.S., right, Tim, look at the last two-year auction, that we had trouble selling it off.
Yeah.
Trouble selling off enough 2 year. And so the banks got, the primary dealers got stuck with 38% of the auction.
Okay,
so,
I gotta ask, you know, this is something, we'll get into the break with this, but my question is, yeah, there's a lot of reasons why the stock market would shoot up. A lot of it's just inflation. Big thing was them the tax relief, where they brought a bunch of their money home and then bought their own stock so they could increase their bonuses and so on. And but what's the next one? It's just we're not as ugly a currency, as ugly an economy. Is that what's going to, and how long will that last?
For
the first letter of Dr. Idris Barber, I've healed many landlubbers, but could have healed countless more if they were willing to break the law to preserve themselves. The Crown required that I obey leeching privateers who didn't share my oath to do no harm. I was forbidden from discussing the treatments I knew patients needed. The Crown claims to protect landlubbers from bankrupting medical expenses, but only seduces them into begging for relief, while privateers monopolize the management of chronic illness. This royal alliance has constructed a medical hegemony that denies science, discredits alternative remedies, and mandates unwanted treatments, while callously ignoring the victims dying on waiting lists. They have produced a society increasingly addicted, impoverished, diseased, and suicidal. My conscientious objections and medical ambitions required not only seeing this cage, but leaving it. That's why I raised my black banner. Among pirates, the Crown's tantrums are irrelevant. You own your body without qualification. Open ocean medicine enables healers and customers to build a relationship of mutual consent. Prices decrease, quality increases, and physicians become as accessible as barbers. Customers determine their own medical care, whether that's experimental treatments, prohibited plants, controversial procedures, bootleg pharmaceuticals, or even the right to die. Any system of command and control is rejected. In time, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, genetic engineering, and cybernetic prosthetics could take the human condition beyond our imagination. Medical augmentation could eliminate aging, enhance intelligence, and erase our fundamental physical limitations. With the Crown in our wake and the individual at the helm, we are free to pursue an unfettered life. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Okay, Matt, you wanted to finish your comment or what?
Well, you asked me about Tim. I think, you know, obviously Tim's a thinker, and he's surveying the data rather than, and he's willing to put it on the line to act with conviction. So I think he's making really good choices.
I mean, you know, he's right or he's wrong or he's, you know, I'm telling you, if I got somebody taking care of my money and my future, my retirement and so on, I'm wanting some long-term kind of, you know,
right,
for real thinking here, not wishful. And that's one thing that he gets criticized for, is as much as he was a big advocate for Trump coming in, it was under certain conditions that, you know, comply with like math. So when you start doing certain things, it's the same. I got the same old saying, they will go to a mushroom cloud if necessary to distract from and keep it going one more election cycle. It's always one more election cycle for what? The Republicans, the Democrats, the freedom? Did it? No, it's for the banking system, and it's for the trough for military industrial. We rule you, empire of. It's all the same, and I'm not seeing any difference. And if you think there's a difference, here comes John Bolton. Here comes Rince Priebus. Here comes, you know, all these guys. I'm like, Mad Dog. What the fuck?
Gary Cohn, Gary Carbontax Cohn.
Yeah, I'm just there's so much bullshit that it's comical. So I go to guys like
we passed the Rubicon. I mean, there is this. This is something I point out to Tim. I think I've said it on your social media before. Is you can look in human history, there is no exception. There's not a single republic, you know, representative form of government that has ever survived. Yeah. Evolving into an oligarchy.
Right. Here we're coming back. Here we go.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
My point. I just gotta wait, and then we'll know. So I'm just wondering what we're waiting on. Matt, what are we waiting on, man? What are we waiting on? Whoa! I'm sorry, I got pushed a button. I'm sorry. What are we waiting on?
Well, I think the thing is, Americans that we get our feathers puffed up over is that we're somehow unique in the sands of time. We're another civilization. We're a republic form of government. And they always fail because the elected officials realize they can act in their own self-interest and not represent the people anymore. So we were way, way past
that. Whoa. When do you think they just realized that?
Oh, it's been going on for a while.
I think Alexander de Tocqueville who wrote something along the lines of, when the public realizes that they can vote themselves from the public trough, then basically, at that point, it's going to bankrupt the civilization, which is amazing because I went to a liberal arts school, believe it or not. And we had, in the only class I think that there was like any merit in was a humanities class where we read things like De Tocqueville and The Prince and Machiavelli, where it talked about how ultimately all democracies always basically descend into tyrannies 100% of the time. So how does a school that teaches on, a liberal arts school that teaches this as their core, there's only two classes you had to take at this college, and it was Humanities 1 and Humanities 2, and it's reading all these ancient literatures. And so the only two classes that make you take, and it basically says 100% of the time democracies devolve into tyrannies, but yet you have all these idiots who are then cheerleading democracy when we've devolved from a republic into a democracy. And now we're not even a constitutional republic because, Trump said, and actually, Ernie, you'll really like this because I listened to a tiny bit of the CPAC speech, maybe like 15 minutes of it. At one point, he started talking about I don't know if he's used the word kill the precedent. And he goes, no, not president, precedent.
No, I saw that.
And then so like, oh, wow, that's right up Ernie's alley. But, if we're going back to, the wall.
Dobby thing.
Yeah, so let's go back, to the wall conversation a little bit. And I've got, a tweet from Justin Amash here where it says, if you think my job is to support the president 100%, then you don't understand what it means to be a representative in Congress. My job is to support the Constitution 100% and to represent all the people of my district by protecting those rights. I think Massey had another one, I'm not looking at it right now, that said something along the effect of, if we abandon the Constitution to protect the country, then what country are we even protecting?
Yeah, no, there's always somebody who'll say something cool like that that's regurgitated from a Ron Paul speech 30 years ago. I mean, there's always somebody saying that, but they don't do it. They're not, and all I get out of Trump is, but a lot of times, a lot of people missed the real important stuff. When he was doing deregulation, and a big thing when early on in his administration, he took the ability of the EPA to control development using water as an excuse to whatever the heck. And I'm going, I've seen here in Arizona, around the country, that was their one. All they had to do is pass laws saying, well, you got to get this piece of paper to do something. Okay. And want this piece of paper? What are you going to do for this piece of paper? How much are you going to pay for this piece of paper? What can we negotiate for the signature and the stamp on this piece of paper? We got
a stamp. Matt knows all about that.
Matt
knows all about that.
Yeah, so I'm just, when he did that and kind of loosened up, I'm going, cool. There you go. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? These are the kind of things. So I'm going, all right, so is that where he's focusing his time on real politic, real business of kind of getting the ball rolling, you know, break loose the rust and the wheels start turning and we'll worry about this other crap later. And with, you know, see, I can see that there are things, there's something back there, and then I get a Bolton and I, you know, the threatening the mushroom cloud and we get out of the INF treaty and we're going to have hypersonic mushroom cloud trading with China and Russia. And I'm going, yeah. And Elliot Abrams comes out of the freaking, you know, muck. You know, so I'm, and these are the guys that I remember, you know, from the 70s and 80s. It's not like the same kind of people. It's the same people. Same. I'm going, whoa. It's like GW, you know, www.warmonger.com Bush. You know, he has Dick Cheney. They come from the back office under the front lines. I'm like, whoa. What, and what's the difference with Trump? So I'm trying to, I'm extricating myself from the whole freaking thing. You know, you got a 45 to my head. All right, what piece of paper I got to sign? What do I got to do? How much tax I got to pay? What I, you know, but the whole time I'm planning for something else. The whole time I'm decentralizing down too. The whole time I'm getting off of your grid and, you know, not being so dependent. The whole time. Because I don't give a crap who's up there. You're right, Matt. It's done. It's broke. It's not if, it's when. So the concept of the presidency, kill the precedent. Not the president. The precedent of presidents. So this is where I'm at. I am glad Tim's there, you know, providing the options and solutions to, doesn't matter what happens. The free market, you're right, will always resurrect its head. All the time. In the meantime, though, we're just being BS'd. You know, and the Q thing, I'm just like, you know, I'm still waiting. It's been years of them going, this means this, and this is going to happen here, and wait for this, and wait, and wait, and wait, and wait. I'm still waiting. What is the thing that Q is doing, talking about that's happened? What can I take to the bank? What gives them legitimacy? Go.
Well, Q is interesting. That's it.
Yeah.
And as far as I've been able to discern, all I know is I had a conversation with about, you know, a guy that might know these kind of things. And his first question for me was, or his first answer is, I can't tell you that much because we're not on a secure line. And he says, but you'll
I've never heard that before.
You'll be very pleased. This is a special ops guy with a long history. So he says, you'll be very pleased.
How many times I've interviewed, Tim will tell you, I've been got the big Q on at the conference of, and they want to explain it to me, and guys here, and praying, you know, medic.
I think we're still owed a steak dinner from one of those bets.
Yeah, you know, we had a bet that Q said, and it's going to, and the Federal Reserve is going to, God, man, I could have collected down in Narcopoca, I'll get my dinner. But I'm telling you, man, it's all, and my son, the same thing. He's like, yep, you're just not up enough. You just wouldn't understand. You're kind of going, oh, nobody gets nailed down on anything. So you'll be surprised. You'll be happy. Well, how many years I got to wait? And what am I waiting on?
Well, that's been years. It's not even been 18 months since Q came out.
All right, how long do I got to wait? Before or after? Elect
before
me again?
Before or after Roger Stone and Paul Manafort?
Yeah, 2020. Elect me 2020, okay, and then you'll know.
Let me digress a little bit back because you wanted to have me on there to talk about some of the wall issue, right? So let's talk about the things that have happened behind the scenes, right?
All right, go. We only got a couple of minutes, so, man, rattle them off. Let's go.
Everybody did Google Operation Broken Heart. Came out in June of 2018. We arrested 3,700 pedophiles and pedophile rings in one day. And you have massive human trafficking. In December 2017, I think December 21st, President Trump filed an executive order declaring basically in any way of the state, anyone who was caught involved in human trafficking and sex trafficking. There's been a massive takedown of the human trafficking networks. And according to Arizona members of government I've spoken with, they said the human trafficking trade has now exceeded the drug trade, the illegal drug trade. It's that big. And so when you stop and you go, you know, why do people not want the border protected? Why? Well, what is the reason? Let's take a step back. It's the thing from the Nixon, you know, era. You know, follow the money. right? Where's the money going? Where's this dark money going? Who's influencing it? Where is it going? And so from my perspective, I think there's a lot of dark money being moved around through human trafficking. It's on an epidemic level. And without a doubt, the Trump administration behind the scenes has gone after with the unsealed.
Okay, now this was June of 17. So this is like a couple of years ago. This is after.
I'm sorry. No, June of 18. Sorry. Just this past June. I think June of 18.
Well, I got here. It says June 27th, 17. And this was in conservative treehouse. Let's see this other one. This is. Okay, it says June 18th, so maybe they got the date wrong on that one, because it says the United States...
got something wrong? Hold on.
It says the United States Department of Justice. This is justice.gov site. More than 2,300 suspected online child sex offenders arrested during Operation Broken Heart, blah, 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 blah. You know...
when you heard about it.
Yeah, didn't hear a whole bunch about this. Why?
Right.
Why? Why didn't I hear a bunch about this? Why wasn't this a thing? I mean, I'm sure we've had some stuff up. We talked about this a little bit, but I never knew it was an actual named operation. You know, I don't remember a Broken Heart.
Correct. The question is why? Why did you hear nothing about it? Because whoever's in the media doesn't want this out there. So what you saw is Trump administration took down Backpage, right? Backpage, which was the Backpage, I believe, right? Yeah. The number one human trafficking website in the world, right? They took that down.
So now, there is a document dated Department of Justice of June 17. So there was something going on back then, too.
Yeah, but the actual arrests started coming up. The big one hit on in June of 18.
All right, so they had a year going on. They were
so
waiting
been watching a takedown. So I don't think it's coincidental that you see people like Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, these people starting to get slowly taken down publicly.
Jeffrey Epstein.
Epstein is now back in the news again. Epstein is, which is really interesting. So you've had it gets into a really dark conversation.
And Alan Dershowitz is his lawyer. And Alan Dershowitz is a lawyer who's also doing stuff for Trump as well.
Yeah. Okay. Now this is one thing that's interesting. I get, it's one thing that I get from other people on this is that, it is the child, the pedophile ring and so on that is a common thread through a lot of this, and that while all this other stuff is going on, that a lot of this is coming out through this case, through the pedophile stuff. And
I would agree. You're Forgetting Neverland just hit. The documentary on Michael Jackson. Now that is all coming out. You saw R. Kelly's, R&B singer R. Kelly's arrested, indicted, just out on bail. Surviving R. Kelly. Everyone knew he was a pedophile for years with underage girls. That's hit, right? So you're starting, it is open secret, you know, came out.
He even picked up a girl. He picked up a girl at his, who was at his trial, too. Was another one of them.
Man, so, this guy's got screws loose. Well, what's the deal on, the Patriot owner and them going after men's spas in Florida kind of thing. I'm just like, why? Where the hell did that? Yeah,
To distract away from the little kids that they're running around. So they want to make, you know, the big evil white Patriots owner the face of this and not Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, there's something else going on there. I think that their time would be better spent. Now, of course, they'll make the argument that they're sex slaves and they're sleeping on the tables after what, you know. So I scanned it, but I'm just I'm like, I don't care. So the old guy, hell, his wife died, you know, recently. He's got a lot of money. He drives his friend's Bentley to, you know, the massage spa, and he's going to get some. So I'm just like, and I care because why do I care? And so then they have to put in the white slave, well, I get brown slavery, whatever they want to call it. You know, these women are being exploited, and I'm going, okay, they can't leave. That might be an issue, and you want to delve into that a little bit more. But there's so many other things that you would think that they would spend their time on, certainly when you're talking about underage and children. And whenever we have the FBI doing anything, it's them running a pedophile website. And then when you criticize it, Free Talk Live, you know, that owns the network that I'm on now, the show Ian and Mark, they criticize the FBI for running a child pornography ring as a sting, and then they go after them, seize all their stuff, because they just do the heavy hand, you're not allowed to talk about it. And I'm going, wow, we are in la-la land. So why am I trying to fix or do? I mean, we'll cover it and you'll talk about it, but I want to get outside of all their influences, their monetary system, their news system, their information system, their energy grid. I want to get above the grid. And why am I want to immerse myself into the ouch, quit it crap of who trusts Trump more? I find that entertaining, but to what end, Matt? Why?
Well, Trump was an outsider. He's an outside vote.
Since
the trend hit all over the world. So you saw the right, even though Macron won barely in France, you saw the rise of the third party. You see Austrians for Deutschland came up the party. Now Merkel's basically been defanged and taken out of power in Germany.
And you got Breitbart, Bannon, all over Europe going around saying populist rising power.
Yeah, it's a populist movement happening all over the world. And so what they could not figure it out. Armstrong's model picked Trump winning. I made some nice wagers on that on election, including I bet he would win over 300 electorals, which I made money on. And, so that was a good win for me. But he also, his AI picked Brexit being approved and passing all the way up until the day of Brexit. And everyone is saying, you're crazy, it's down 10 points. He's like, it's just what the model's saying.
Okay, we got, for the audience, you don't know, we're talking Martin Armstrong, right?
Yes.
Okay, Martin Armstrong, it was a speculative investor, trader guy that had an algorithm that he created that he was calling a whole bunch of, countries going down, okay?
Has still, correct.
Has still what?
It's an active model.
The thing was is that the government wanted it. They go, oh, hell no, this is national security, we want your algorithm. He goes, no, I'm not giving it to you. Oh, yeah? Well, you give it to us after sitting in jail for a while. And he goes, maybe I won't. So finally, there's a documentary on Martin Armstrong and the heavy-handedness of the government. It was they wanted to know what he knew when he knew it, and damn it, you will comply. Well, what was the end result of that? They finally... He gave it up. They let him go. What happened?
So he was he sat in not in prison. He sat in jail in New York for 7 years in contempt of court because he would not give up his computer code.
Amazing.
And they seized his assets, so he couldn't pay his attorney bill. So he had an attorney that worked pro bono for him, and he ended up getting a deal and getting out because the financial crisis hit. And there's people in Congress that wanted to know what do we need to do? And so they called Armstrong up and basically got him out. He had to sign a plea deal. He did 5 more years agreeing to a bogus conspiracy with Republic Bank that there was no victims of. It was a total sham job. But he's out. He got out. He got railroaded. He never gave up his code. And his code predicted some to the day. Like he picked they called it Armstrong's Revenge. His model, while he was sitting in jail, picked the height of the real estate index that crashed in February of 2007 to the day, 9 years in advance.
Huh. And so, Ernie, can I get one thing in before you have to go?
Yeah, real quick. I got to go real fast.
So Donna just put up on freedomsphoenix.com the interview we did with the Monero guy at Anarchapoco. So I'd highly recommend people check that out. You can go to freedomsphoenix.com. It says Making the Case for Monero with Dr. Daniel Kim, PhD, MBA. So you've got a guy who's a Harvard PhD and a Yale MBA, Asian guy talking about the use cases of Monero. Highly recommend people check that out. It's only like 15, 20 minutes long. I want to thank Matt for coming on today. I think he'd be a great guest also in the future because he's a wealth of knowledge and lots of stuff. I know we didn't beat each other up too bad, but I think we're in agreement about most things, just the degree of what we want to degree on. And so thanks for coming on.
All right. Yeah, we got to get the next guest. Hey, thanks, Matt. We'll do something again. Maybe we'll just do a long format. You guys just come in studio and we'll just have some fun and let it go and without break and we'll get all decided. You up for that?
You bet. Anytime I can share and be part of the community.
Yeah. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do it. Yeah, we'll set it up. All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.